Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business, and equally welcome to our new website, SavvyDentist.com. Jesse Green here as always, and today I'm really excited because we're having a conversation with a gentleman called Tim McNeely, who I think is one of the smartest cats going around. Now, Tim is an expert at helping dentists create passive wealth outside of their practice. He knows the industry intimately. His wife's a dentist. He understands the day-to-day hassles and pressures and opportunities of running a dental practice. But what he's really adept at is helping dentists take some of that revenue, some of that profit, allocate it to creating wealth and helping them grow another revenue stream or an income stream outside of the practice. So Tim is really generous in his interview today. We cover a lot of territory, but what I specifically liked about this was Tim adopts a very principles-based approach. He transcends and moves beyond tactics and individual stocks or individual strategies and takes a very methodical step-by-step process, outlining principles of the ultra-rich that any single person listening to this show can apply to great effect. It's a wonderful interview, and as I said, it's very principles-based. I'm also going to commend Tim's book to you. It's called Becoming Seriously Wealthy. You can find that at his website called lifestoneco.com, and I'd really encourage you to check out the resources there. As I said, great fun conversation with Tim, really nice fellow, really smart guy, and I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I enjoyed having it with him. But for now, here's Tim. Tim McNeely, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your afternoon in the United States. How are you today, my friend?
I am thrilled to be here.
Look, not as thrilled as we are to have you. We've been looking forward to having this conversation for quite some time. Now, your background is really interesting. You have a background in creating wealth and helping dentists do that. And of course, your lovely wife is a dentist, so you know dentists well, the challenges that they face, and intimately involved in helping them create wealth outside of the practice. I'm curious to ask, what was it that led you to that point in your career where you thought that's a job that needs to be done? How did you find your way into that work?
Yeah, no, great question. And thank you for asking that. I started my life as an ordinary financial advisor and always thought it was my job to just manage investments really well, and met my wife. And lo and behold, she had a lot of problems besides her investments. Things like, oh my gosh, I got to hold back a paycheck so I can make payroll.
Yep.
Or I'm spending all my time running the business and I don't have enough time to do the dentistry. So essentially, I found myself in a job I hated, couldn't take care of the person I loved the most. Something needed to change. And that's where the comprehensive wealth management really came in, was solving the problems my wife had.
That's fantastic. And I think there'll be a lot of people listening to this podcast who go, I totally get it. Now I've got to generate a certain amount of revenue to make payroll. I'm busy during the day, either running the business or doing dentistry. How do I even find the time to think about creating wealth? I get home at the end of the day, I have my dinner, I'm so exhausted, I watch TV for half an hour and then I fall asleep and do it all again tomorrow. So I guess my question for you around that is, what is it about dentistry, do you think, given that you know the industry so well, that makes it imperative for dentists to start thinking about creating wealth outside of the practice to develop a passive income? What is it about dentistry and dentists that makes that such an imperative, do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think, Jesse, you just hit on that is, right, they show up, they work really hard, they go home. Rinse, wash, repeat. And, you know, when you think about the life of a dentist, so, and I love dentistry. I think it's one of the greatest professions on the face of this planet where you can have a massive impact and have a fantastic quality of life. But right, pull back to the days of dental school, right? You come out, and at least here in America, you come out with a lot of debt, right? You owe a lot of money. Most people do. And so you show up, you start working, you start paying that debt down. And then, you know, maybe you start making a little money and you think, well, I need to reward myself more. And so your lifestyle creeps as your income goes up too. And I'm not saying you have to not enjoy things, but that's kind of the challenge that a lot of us face is that we're starting life in debt. We start making a lot of money and we just kind of show up and we live life and we don't really have an end in mind. And so like Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. And if you do that, And if you really focus on where you're trying to go, you're going to get a lot better results.
So I really love that begin with the end in mind, because that's actually one of the mantras of my life, actually. Tim, you've hit on something really near and dear to my heart. And I think when it comes to the end in mind, obviously the definition of success is going to be individual. Each person's going to have their own version of what that looks like. But just in broad terms, for most people in dentistry who don't plan, my experience is that the end in mind is they're at the end of their practicing life, they have to sell their practice for a lot of money because they've either got a clear debt or they're using that money to set up their retirement. And of course, in today's world, who knows what they'll be able to do with that practice? Will they be able to sell it at all? Probably, but will it be for the right amount of money? So I guess my question for you around that is, when we're thinking about the end in mind, without necessarily putting hard numbers to it, what does a successful retirement look like? Because for most people, it's a long way off, or for most people listening to this podcast, at least, it's a long way off. But and it's hard to picture that because it's just not part of our day-to-day thinking at the present. So what does it look like?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, what I hear often, because I'm always asking that question, right? I ask my clients, I ask other potential clients as I'm lecturing, I'm always asking dentists, what does success look like to you? And the thing I hear time and time again is this concept of work being optional, is reaching a point where you can show up and do dentistry because that's what you want to do. You've created a practice that's a reflection of your vision, your values, and you're truly going to work because you want to, not because you have to. And those are very different mentalities, right? There's something that happens when you have to show up at work because you got to pay the bills, because you're struggling to make the practice work, versus reaching a point where you've got some financial security and you're able to show up and work because you want. And so that's, I know it's kind of general, but that's what I hear time and time again. And that looks different for everyone, but that seems to be the commonality, is making work optional.
I actually think it might be a generality, but I think it's a really common phrase that I hear as well, Tim. I hear that almost every day. I want to come to work because I enjoy the work. And most dentists I know actually really enjoy the craft of dentistry. Most dentists I know enjoy looking after their patients and having an impact on their lives. But equally, most of them also like to do it in a way that makes sense for them as well. In other words, as you said quite eloquently, they get to choose to do it rather than having to do it. And I think that as you quite rightly point out, there's a very different energy around that. And I think if you have the choice to do things, then you show up as your best self every single day because it is a choice. And I really love that. So if we understand that the end goal is then to have more choice in life, and we understand that the end goal is to have that option, why is it that some people just don't think about creating wealth outside of the practice? We've spoken about the busyness of the day-to-day. We understand that. But are there any other things that stop people either thinking about creating wealth or any other impediments to actually achieving that wealth? Where do people go wrong?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to it's the mindset, right? Where are we? And right, to kind of use an analogy of dental health, right? I'm not a dentist. I work with a whole bunch of them, but I don't know what's going on inside my mouth. That's why I show up for regular cleanings. And that's why I'm always in the dentist chair, is because I want to catch those problems before they become really big problems. Mm. And once again, right, I'm not trained to do that, but there is someone who does do that, someone who helps guide me along. And I think it's very similar for most dentists too, is they're not really assessing what progress they're making towards their goals. And they don't know how to measure these things because no one's ever taught them, or they've never really took time to think about, wait, where am I heading, other than just showing up, doing dentistry, and then hopefully finishing all my lab work so I can get home and go to sleep and do it all again.
Yeah, totally. I think you just described a day in the life of a lot of dentists right there, Tim. So
right, we get trapped on a treadmill and we're running, and we never try to think, well, wait, why am I on this treadmill?
Yeah, and I think that's exactly right because, and look, to be honest with you, in the early stages of my career, I was doing that too. I was pedaling really hard to just keep running, keep up with everything, and all of a sudden you look up and 5 years has gone by and you think, wow. And you know that because your kids are 5 years older, you've got a bit more gray hair. Well, you don't have much, I can see. I've got plenty, but 5 years goes by in the blink of an eye. But equally, I heard a great saying that compounding waits for no man. So that's 5 years of lost opportunity potentially. So I guess coming back to that, if there's someone listening to this podcast and says, oh my goodness me, Tim, I totally understand what you're saying. I know that I need to start thinking about creating another income stream outside of my practice, whether or not I own the practice or whether I'm working as an associate dentist for someone else. It doesn't really matter too much at the moment. But for anyone listening, what's the first step that people need to take to start that journey?
Yeah, so I would say that the first step is to actually celebrate that they've reached the point of making that decision. And that's what we so often forget, right? You talk about that person who's waited 5 years and they finally wake up and they're like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Well, that's great. You're awake. Mm. And now you've made that decision. And that's when the victory is won. It is the victory, right? I go back to, you know, marathon runners or Olympic athletes, right? They win that race, not at the moment that they actually cross that finish line and get the gold medal. They won that race years ago when they made the decision to start working for it. And the same is true with all the dentists out there in our audience that we're talking to is, number one, realize your victory is won when you make the choice to start working for it. So celebrate that you're awake now. And then start getting really clear on what does that future look like. And find some professionals, talk to your existing team of people, and share your vision with them and ask them, how can you help me get there?
Yeah, I really like that because, again, I think you touched on it earlier when you said you're not a dentist, but you go to a dentist regularly, obviously your wife, I presume, because you go to that person with the expertise. And again, I'd really encourage anyone listening to this show to make sure you build your own board of advisors, whether that's an accountant, a lawyer, a financial planner, or whoever else is going to be on your team to help you create that. I think it's really important to have a board of advisors, people who you trust and who are in your corner. I wanted to ask you around some of the principles of wealth, because it's one thing to say, okay, I understand that I've got to start doing things. I've got to start understanding where I want to go. I need to build myself a team. What are some of the principles of wealth creation that stand the test of time, good times and bad, economic upturns, downturns, whatever it is? What are the common principles that you see your very successful or more wealthy clients adopt that would be useful for our audience to understand so that they could adopt them too?
Yeah, so I would say that the first thing they do is they understand, and you touched on it, right? The power of compounding. Mm. That's one thing they understand is that they invest early and they invest often in themselves. And so they certainly enjoy life. They certainly spend money to rest and relax because that's an important component of success. But they also spend time paying themselves. So they are investing, they're setting aside money for their future. And so that's the first thing they do is they realize there's a balance. They don't spend everything they make and they actually save some. The second thing is it goes back to that mindset. They realize they're in it for the long haul and they've gotten really clear on what they're trying to achieve. And so I would say those are some of the basics is they understand the power of compounding. They certainly invest in themselves. They attack debt and they use debt wisely. And lastly, they know where they're going. They have a process that they follow.
Yeah, again, I really love that. And one of the things that I really like about hearing what you say, Tim, is because, and this is going to sound really funny, but we're not talking about specific things. You're like, go out and buy Bitcoin. We're not talking about buying the latest fad thing or whatever. But what you've articulated very, very clearly there, guiding principles, you know, thought processes, habits, all of those things to get into. And those, in my view at least, are the things that really create wealth. And every now and then you might pick a great stock that goes through the roof or you happen to ride the crypto bubble and you come out smelling like roses. But it really is those principles. It's those daily disciplines, those weekly disciplines, those monthly disciplines. Is it fair to say that your most successful clients from an economic point of view are disciplined in what they do?
Yeah, absolutely. Highly disciplined. And that goes back to the savings. That goes back to attacking the debt and using debt wisely. It goes back to having a plan. It goes back to meeting with their team on a regular basis.
Yeah. So if we were to look at this, is there any sort of percentage? And I know that we're talking generally and we've got to make sure that it's going to vary from one person to the next. I get it, all of that sort of stuff. But let's just say a person earns $100 a week. How much of that $100 would ideally be allocated to future wealth creation?
So let's kind of break that down. So number one, right, part of wealth creation is also the elimination of debt. And so when you're talking about that $100, is that net spendable? Do they have something else going on? Is that their take home?
That's it. Let's just call it their take home post tax.
Okay. All right. So if $100 take home post tax, I would say ideally you want to maybe invest about a third of that into creating wealth for yourself, a third of that towards some debt reduction, and then about a third of that towards living the life you want.
Yeah, fantastic. And again, really sound principles. It's the thing I really like about what you're saying, Tim, is simple, right? It's simple to understand, easy to achieve if you apply yourself and are disciplined, but we're not asking people to split the atom. We're not asking them to become financial wizards and understand the ins and outs of valuing stocks or so on and so forth. So again, really lovely principles. I wanted to ask you around preparing for economic seasons, because there seems to be a prevailing view at the moment, Tim, and you're in the United States, so you'll probably hear more of this than I do. There is perhaps an economic autumn or winter on the way. And what I'd like to be able to ask is, if there are seasons, what should people be thinking about if the season is about to change?
Yeah, no, great question. Let me grab my crystal ball here.
Now. Yeah, yeah, and I polish it up really shiny and see what we come up with.
Well, right. I mean, if that's the world that we live in, right? Socially, politically, economically,
totally.
There's more uncertainty than ever before.
Yeah.
And right, we don't know the future. I sit through a lot of presentations every year, and I'll share this one with you. This is probably the best one I've ever seen. And all they did is they took a whole bunch of newspaper headlines going about back to 1920.
Yeah.
And it was headline after headline after headline with market predictions.
Yes.
And then they showed what the market actually did. None of them were right. However, with that said though, right, how do you prepare for these things? What are the things you should be thinking for? And I'm going to pull back and once again, go to that big picture is if you've got that plan in place, you're going to have been adjusting your portfolio so that no matter where you are within an economic cycle, you're prepared to withstand that downturn. Mm. So for the younger dentist out there, I recommend have a lot of risk in your portfolio. Why? Mm. You got time to recover. If you're 5 years off from retirement and you're going to need that money soon, you should have a lot less risk in your portfolio. And if you've dialed in those numbers, I'm going to argue most of the time it's not going to matter what happens economically, politically, socially, because you've got that plan in place.
Yeah. Again, I really love that, because what you've articulated very clearly is going back to first principles. And again, I think that's the big message that's coming through today is go back to the first principles and apply them consistently. We spoke a little bit earlier about compounding and waiting for no man. What if there's someone listening to this particular podcast at the moment, Tim, and they're going, you know what, I'm a 50-year-old person or even 55-year-old person. I may have 10 years of practice left, or I may have less, and I'm not happy with where I am economically. I feel like I've got to take on more risk in order to generate a higher return because I've got a shorter time frame. It's a tricky situation. I understand that there's no easy answer. But is there anything particularly that you would advise people in that scenario based on your experience?
Yeah, well, it's going to go back to where do you want to take the risk, right? Mm. Maybe it's not necessarily taking the risk in your investment portfolio. Maybe it's going to be taking some risk in your ability to take on a new procedure or change your practice or a new marketing initiative so that you can grow your income even more. Maybe that's where you need to take on the risk. And maybe that's where you're more comfortable. And so it's interesting. Like you said, we've been talking about a lot of principles today, and that's how I run my practice, is because so often you've got a professional, they've got a hammer, and everything out there is a nail.
Yeah.
Right? They're really good at one specific thing, and that's the solution for whatever they come across. But the reality is that doesn't work, and we are all individuals, and there's certainly principles we can apply, but if you apply those principles, you're always going to kind of get to the right answers eventually. Because you're following a process.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I feel like I'm part of the choir here, mate, because I think you're really hitting on a very important point, and that is follow the principles. That the fads come and go. A couple of years ago, there was a lot of people, you know, riding the crypto wave, maybe even a year ago, and everyone thought they were doing brilliantly well. And of course, it changed overnight, but the principles remain the same. And I'm old enough to remember people getting caught up, you know, and ignoring the principles and getting caught up in the dot-com bubble, if anyone's old enough to remember that. So it's really interesting. If you were to be in a room of dentists and listen in on the conversation, be a fly on the wall, so to speak, what sort of things might you hear in that conversation? And if you had the ability to just tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, 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 there's a better way, what sort of things might you hear? And then what sort of things might you just go, hey, guys, you might want to think about this?
Yeah, a great question. So I've actually done a lot of research in this area, and I've gone out, interviewed number of dentists on the challenges that they're facing today. And what's interesting is all the financial planning stuff, everything I do, that's really, really, really low on the list. Really low. It barely pops up. What does show up is the challenge of running a business, right? It's patient management. It's how do I run my staff? How do I find the right people, right? How do I grow my practice? How do I run that in an efficient way? And then it's the economic challenges, right? What do I do with the growth of DSOs out there? What do I do with my practice? Do I sell it? Do I go tuck in somewhere? Do I go into private practice or corporate? Those are the things I hear all the time. It's those business challenges. Not so much the personal financial side. I mean, there are certainly questions there, but once again, the more successful people I work with, they've gotten really good at delegating that to a team of people and checking in and making sure it's doing what it's supposed to do. But they're more concerned about the practice itself.
Yeah, I love that. So, Tim, I just want to change gear for a second because you've written the foreword to a book called Becoming Seriously Wealthy. And it's a fantastic book. You know, I've heard some really good reports about it. And it's fantastic that you're working in that space because we've got accelerating entrepreneurial success, how to harness the strategies of the super rich and the ultra wealthy business owners. You wrote the foreword to that book. So firstly, congratulations on being invited to do that. But could you give us a bit of an overview of what that book entails?
Yeah, absolutely. So this really goes back to my story about my wife. Found myself in a job I hated, couldn't take care of the person I love the most. And I realized something needed to change. And so that's where I really started to reach out. And I wanted to study what do the best wealth managers do? And not just what do the best wealth managers do, but what do the ultra wealthy do, right? What do the richest people on the face of this planet do to achieve their most important goals? And that's really what a lot of the research in Becoming Seriously Wealthy looks at. And one of the surprising findings, we start off by talking to very successful business owners. And we ask them a simple question is, do you want to make more? And across the board, I think it was 93% of them say, yes, we want to grow our wealth even more. And then we start diving in, well, why is that important to you? And we find three primary reasons. They want to take care of the people they love, support the causes they care about, and they want to change the world for the better. And so the successful business owners out there realize wealth certainly helps to make a dent in the universe.
Yeah. And so 93% want to grow their wealth. What other stats or what other findings came out of your research? I'm curious to understand.
Yeah, great question. So, right, it really is that desire to grow their wealth. And we start looking at where does wealth creation come from, right? Is it from money you've inherited? Is it from winning the lottery? Well, at least here in the States and across the world, the greatest source of wealth creation is business ownership, right? Yeah. It's having an equity stake in a business, which most dentists today do, right? They own their practice.
Yes.
They've got a business that helps generate income that they can invest in, that they can grow and eventually sell and profit from.
Okay. So really interesting to understand that because years ago, I read a book called The Millionaire Next Door. And again, I imagine that was based on interviewing lots of millionaires at the time. The numbers and stats are out of date in that book now. But what I'm hearing you say is there's that great saying that success leaves clues. And so studying the seriously wealthy, studying the ultra rich has left some clues. And yes, there's business ownership. Yes, there's the desire to want to grow their wealth further so they can support the causes that matter to them, so they can support their family and so on and so forth. What else did you observe about the ultra wealthy? What other things came up?
So one of the things that the ultra wealthy are really, really good at is working with the best of the best. They want to work with good professionals who really get them, who really understand them. And this is something that we call the human element. When we start looking at just the difference between a really good technical advisor, whether that's a CPA, an attorney, a wealth manager, insurance specialist, right? If you look at just a real good specialist, right? They've got access to top of the line products, services. They've got all that. But the difference with the super rich is they work with what I call elite professionals. And the main differentiating factor is the human element. These professionals actually take the time to truly understand what's important to the client. And they're not focused on the technical wizardry. They're not focused on the products and services. They're more focused on how do I get my client the results they want using whatever tools are out there.
Oh, fantastic. And when you did your research, was there anything that came up that surprised you that you went, wow, I just would not have thought that? Was there anything that kind of you went, oh my goodness?
I would say there were two things that came out of the research that I helped underwrite here. And the first one was actually how underserved most business owners and dentists actually are.
Yeah.
And we see this through the numbers. When we start looking at things like, are you interested in lowering taxes? Well, guess what? I'm looking at the data, 94.3% of business owners, they want to lower their taxes.
Yeah.
Well, then we ask them, have you taken any action to actually lower, or have you worked with a professional? Well, guess what? 76% have never taken any action.
Wow.
And the reason is their professionals aren't helping them do this. And so you walk into a room of financial advisors and say, do you want to work with business owners? Every financial advisor puts their hand up.
Yeah.
But then you start asking them about things like some advanced planning strategies. And you say, well, have you ever done this certain kind of retirement plan? Do you know about them? Oh, 80% of them will put their hand up and say, oh, we know about these plans. Then you say, have you ever done one for one single client?
Yeah.
That number drops to about 6 or 7%.
Wow.
So the difference, right? That would be like me going to a dentist and saying, hey, doc, you know anything about implants? Oh, I know everything about implants. Great. Have you ever placed one? Well, I haven't done any of that, but I've taken a lot of courses.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the dentist I want to go see.
No, totally.
Right? And unfortunately, within the world of advisors, it's very much like that. So the difference between what I call pretenders, which are well-meaning professionals, but they just don't have the technical expertise, versus true consummate professionals who actually do have the technical expertise and an understanding of the human element. That to me was just mind-blowing, the research.
Yeah, wow. That's really interesting. When you said that 70-odd% of those dentists had not taken a step to minimize their tax or to reduce their tax, that to me is unbelievable. And I think it translates because, again, I think it probably comes back to the busyness factor that we spoke about at the beginning of the podcast. They understand that they should. And yet, for one reason or another, they don't do the things that they know they should. And I think you also rightly pointed out that comes back to mindset. It comes back to a variety of other factors. So what I'm hearing you say in all of this is we need to make the creation of wealth a priority. At some point in our life, we need to actively and consciously think about it, because if we don't, it's not going to happen by chance. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. These things do not happen by accident. It happens through dedication, through devotion, and being thoughtful about it, right? You don't have to be all consumed with it, right? Your sole motivation in life shouldn't be making money, right? It should be having an impact. But one of the ways we can do that is through wealth creation.
Mm.
And as dentists, you've got a great ability to do that.
Yeah. So, Tim, I know you can grab a copy of the book for anyone listening. You might want to head across to Tim's website. It's called lifestoneco.com, and you can grab a copy of the book there. It's a really good read. I'd encourage everyone to grab a hold of it because, again, I think it's important to understand that success leaves clues. And if you can pick up on those clues and apply them for your own life, then you're only going to be enriched by it. And I think there's a lot to be gained from studying those things and modeling behaviors and modeling habits and modeling disciplines. And what Tim and his authors there have laid out is a pathway and some breadcrumbs for you to pick up and to follow all the way down the path. So again, mate, congratulations on the book. I know writing a book is a lot of work and you must be very proud of that. So I take my hat off to you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So Tim, I wanted to, I guess, ask you a few other questions because it's really interesting for me in terms of wealth creation because it's something I've been interested in most of my life. I was very blessed to have had some great mentors from a young age, and that's just been my good fortune. But for those people who have not yet been introduced to good financial mentors, where would be some resources that they could look and find some things to read, some ideas to explore? What sort of resources would you suggest people look for?
Yeah, great questions. Actually, the first book I'm going to recommend is not so much on wealth creation, but it's about mindset. And it's probably the best book I've read in the last 24 months. And it's called Willpower Doesn't Work by Benjamin Harding. Absolutely fantastic. It's been a game changer for me just in terms of, right, how do you create environments so that we're always performing at a peak state?
Mm.
And that's one of the things, right? Right. Wealth creation, it takes focus, right? Not just doing the day in and day out stuff, but you got to always be feeling your best. You got to be mentally sharp. And so, right, you don't just need to study, right, how do you create wealth? Because that's kind of easy. You build a business.
Yeah.
So study how you build a business. There's great people out there like Gary Vee, big fan of him. Stephen Covey writes 7 Habits, Highly Effective People. So those business books are very, very helpful. The other thing that's very helpful is there's been a massive explosion of mastermind and CEO groups. Mm. And these mastermind groups are an opportunity for you to go out there and learn from your peers and work alongside them in a collaborative environment on a road together with people who really get you, who really understand you. And if you're struggling to figure out how do I build my practice, how do I create that wealth, look into some of the mastermind groups that are out there for dentists. There's wonderful groups, wonderful mentors, and you're going to be able to join a community of people and take this journey together. And that's going to help accelerate your success even more.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said from peer-to-peer learning. And it's really interesting. I can't comment specifically on the experience in the United States, but one of the things that I've found is that sometimes dentists can be a little reluctant to jump into a mastermind because they're worried about competition. And I'm using air quotes here, ladies and gents. Mm-hmm. Tim and I can see each other, but I've got air quotes happening with my fingers. Yep. But what's really interesting is I think there's actually collaboration to be had there. And I think, you know, stone sharpens stone. And I think if people can get past that thought process and jump into a mastermind, share ideas, because here's the thing. There is enough work for everyone. I believe in a world of abundance. I think there's enough to make the world go around many, many times over. And so I think jumping into a peer-to-peer learning environment is really key. I think it actually is incredibly powerful as well. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for coaching and one-to-one and all those, but I think that peer-to-peer learning, that genuine masterminding, has a lot of benefit to offer. I really endorse what you're saying there.
Well, right. And with the competition piece, right, you hit on abundance. That's so important to remember. And the other thing is, there's a lot of dentists here in the U.S., and usually these mastermind groups have maybe 100, 200 at the larger size, maybe you've got a couple thousand. The chances of you running into a dentist who's right across the street from you, probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm in a mastermind group myself, and I have made wonderful friends who are going to be lifelong friends through this.
Yeah.
And one of them I talk to every single day. And we're texting each other, what are our big three daily goals? What are we going to work on? What's that accountability piece?
Yeah.
And that's wonderful to have a peer to collaborate with that on.
Yeah, totally. And again, I think it comes back to the willingness to share, the willingness to submit to accountability, the willingness to put into place what you say you're going to do. All of those things make a big difference. And you know, sometimes when it comes to wealth creation, I'm a fairly simple guy, Tim. I just kind of think there's really kind of four phases. We've got to earn the money, save the money, invest the money, enjoy the money. And you know, the work that we do is at the front end of that, the earning it. But the work that you do is in the middle part, the saving and investing part. And I think those two things really tie into each other very, very nicely. And I love the way that you're very methodical about it. I love the way that you're really structured and have some principles. If we were to leave our audience today with the gospel according to Tim, and we were to think about, you know, three or four things that you would say, these are the big things to consider as you go about your journey to creating wealth. What would those three or four things be if we were to put them up on a billboard somewhere?
So, you know, I'm going to pull back. You ask about another book, and another one absolutely comes to mind by a friend of mine, Cameron Harold. Mm-hmm. And he writes a book called Vivid Vision.
Yep.
That's absolutely fantastic. Talks about creating your vision for 36 months out.
Yep.
So I would encourage everyone, create your vision of the future. Get away from the office. Get away from everything else. Go write down what the future looks like. Don't worry about how you're going to get there. Just write down what it looks like. And then share that with your team. Share it with your spouse. Share it with the other professional advisors in your life. And engage them and say, here's where I want to go. How can you help get me there? And we all have professionals in our life. We all have people around us. Use those people. Lean into them. And let them help you, because delegation is so important.
Mm.
Delegate these things, work with the team. Don't worry about your weaknesses. Work on your strengths. Work on what you're good at. And your weaknesses, get rid of them. Let someone else handle those things.
Yeah.
So get really clear and then share that vision with your professionals and say, how can you help get me there quicker?
Yeah, fantastic, mate. I really, really enjoyed hearing you say that, because it's just so on the money. It's on point and it's exactly right. So, ladies and gents, I'm going to encourage you to just to rewind the last 30, 40 seconds and play that about 10 times over, because I think it's really great advice from Tim. If you want to find out more advice from Tim, I'd really encourage you to head across to lifestoneco.com and check out all the resources there. Tim's got his book there. There's a great blog there with some fantastic reading, other resources on the site as well. I'd really encourage you to head it out. And just once again, that web address is lifestoneco.com, and check out all of Tim's resources. Tim, you've been really generous with your time today, and I really thank you from all of us here. Is there anything you'd like to leave the audience with that we've not covered so far?
I think we've hit a lot of it. So we can certainly get geeky. We can talk about, you know, the structures that the super rich use. But more than anything, I'm going to encourage everyone, get clear on what your vision is. That's the most important thing you can do. And engage your peers, engage others. Keep listening to your podcast, right? You've got such great stuff on here. You are a resource. And, right, to have these kinds of resources available on my phone and wherever I am, that's incredible. So dive in, engage this stuff, get a plan, keep getting going forward, and get out there and make a difference. Your patients and your future patients depend on you to do that.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. Tim, thank you once again. I'm very grateful to you for taking the time. You've been a scholar and a gentleman, and I thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang with us today.
Yeah, absolutely, Jesse. It's been fun.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.